Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line.
Those mid swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
We do welcome you in. It's time for another Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, with you till 8 o'clock this evening. We got a lot to get into on the program today. As always, if you want to chime in, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's the phone number for you to call and the phone number for you to text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Here's what's coming up. We've got a really, really busy show. Really busy show today. And the Cardinals made some announcements today that I want to get into. And I want to give you the opportunity to chime in on it as well. So, the rundown of the show, about to give you my thoughts on what happened today. The next segment, so after we take this next break, we'll give you an opportunity to share your thoughts if anybody out there wants to. We'll step away from baseball for a little bit. Today is the opening day of the NBA season. We don't talk a lot of NBA basketball on here, but with it being opening day, I want to get into that later on in the hour. We'll play some audio from Drew Bannister, the Blues head coach, as the Blues are in action tonight. Next hour, we'll open it up talking more about the Cardinals' moves today. We will hear comments made by President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak. He spoke with us via a Zoom session today, and I'm going to play back a lot of what he had to say about the moves. We've got our weekly conversation with Patrick Mahomes coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. All right, so if you have not been around to see the news of the day, the first announcement, the Cardinals sent out two big press releases today. The first announcement that was made was that the Cardinals have hired Robert Cerfolio as their new assistant general manager for player development and performance. He comes in from the Cleveland Guardians, where he most recently was their director of player development, but had really climbed the ladder there. He started as a baseball operations and player development intern in 2015, and he slowly made his way up to being the director of player development. We all know what the Cleveland Guardians do, how great they are at developing players, how great they are at drafting players, how great they are at high-level major league success, even without the big payroll. There's going to be a little bit more money to be spent in St. Louis as compared to Cleveland, and now he comes in, and he's going to be a huge part of this player development reset that the Cardinals have going under Heim Bloom. So that was the first news of the day. Second news of the day was the confirmation of what we talked about yesterday. John Jay is being brought back to the organization. He is going to work on the coaching staff. Willie McGee is being transitioned to a special assistant to President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. And the Cardinals have hired Brant Brown as the new hitting coach. Now, a lot of people, when they heard that last bit, Brant Brown, who's Brant Brown? Maybe you'll remember him a little bit from playing days. Brant Brown, who's that? Well, I kind of had to chuckle a little bit today when I was watching the reaction on social media. We're in like Cardinals fans, many of them, not all of them, but many Cardinals fans right now are just in this like wacky land where anything the team does, you're not going to find a positive in it because it's connected to John Mozeliak and it's connected to what people who have been making decisions are continuing to make decisions. So I saw the reaction to the Brant Brown hiring, because part of the background on Brown is he last year took on a job with the Seattle Mariners, where he was there. They called him the offensive coordinator, which isn't really a baseball term, but they created that position for him. And he was also the bench coach, and his job entailed using in-game analytics and getting into like the mental side of the game while also doing some actual coaching and then being the bench coach. Like, it was a really weird thing because the Mariners do weird things. And it was a really weird thing. And then because the Mariners didn't have very good offensive players and they weren't performing at a high level, he became the immediate fall guy. So the first reaction to this is, oh, the Cardinals are hiring a guy who couldn't even last a full season in Seattle. Okay. Well, take a step back a little bit. And the year before, he was with the Miami Marlins working for Skip Schumacher. And did a really good job there. And because of the job he did there, he got the opportunity in Seattle. Probably in hindsight, wasn't the best decision to take that job in Seattle. Kind of a weird thing again, but he did a really good job in Miami. Before he was in Miami, he was working for the Dodgers as their assistant hitting coach. Did a really good job there. He's tight with Skip Schumacher. In fact, John Mozeliak said today that Schumacher gave him a glowing endorsement, and sounds like that was part of the decision. So here's where I think it's kind of funny, and Kevin Wheeler and I talked about this a bit during 515 Sports. There is such a negative feeling right now towards anything that John Mozeliak does that people can't take a step back. Some people, not all people. If you listen to this show, it's probably not talking about you because you're a very smart person. You choose to listen to this program. But there are people out there who cannot take a step back and really evaluate things. And I think this is a wonderful example of this, because the same people who are angry that the Cardinals hired Brant Brown are the same people who are always telling me on social media that the Cardinals need to fire Oliver Marmol and hire Skip Schumacher. And I have nothing against Skip Schumacher. I think he's really, really good manager. But I think he and Oliver Marmol are very, very similar. I think they are incredibly similar. If they were to manage the same teams, I think most of the same moves are being made. I think the two guys are very, very similar in their baseball beliefs and the way they do things and everything. So where I chuckle about all this is there's a group of people out there that don't want Oliver Marmol, that do want Skip Schumacher. They are the same people complaining that Brant Brown got hired today, even though they really don't know anything about Brant Brown, because none of us know anything about Brant Brown. And Skip Schumacher loves Brant Brown. And if Skip Schumacher was the Cardinals manager, there's a very good chance that he would be bringing Brant Brown in to be the Cardinals hitting coach. So if Brant Brown is the hitting coach for Skip Schumacher, everybody's happy. If Brant Brown's the hitting coach for Oliver Marmol, nobody's happy. Nobody's a little bit too strong of a word here, but you get what I'm trying to say. So I think it's a little bit short-sighted to look at just what happened in Seattle, where he got put into the square peg round hole type situation, doing a bunch of stuff, and look at the success he had as the hitting coach with the Marlins. Look at the success that he had as the assistant hitting coach with the Dodgers, and know that's going to be something a little bit different. Most times, hitting coaches become scapegoats for teams that don't perform offensively because the players don't perform. Hitting coaches, their impact can be, not that it's minimal, but I don't think it's that much different from one hitting coach to the next. If you're a major league hitting coach, you got that job for a reason and you're good at what you do. Turner Ward was a good hitting coach. Jeff Albert was a good hitting coach. Like, all these guys were good hitting coaches. Sometimes they don't completely fit in the organization. Sometimes things go wrong. I'm not saying Turner Ward shouldn't have been fired. I was fine with that. The team did not perform offensively, and there were some really startling numbers about what the team did this past year offensively. Hitting with runners in scoring position, taking way too many strikes, things like that, which we've talked about a lot. But I get frustrated when people who don't know anything about Brant Brown outside of the fact that he did not get much of an opportunity in Seattle after being hired there are upset. And to me, it's more of a case of people are so upset with the organization and the people making the decisions that if you are brought in under the current regime, well, then nobody's got time for you just because of who made the decision. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know much about Brant Brown. I don't know a thing about Brant Brown. I know his resume. I know what John Mozeliak told us today on the press conference. Outside of that, don't know a thing. I'm not alone in that. All right, I'll take your thoughts on it. If you want to call, text, or tweet, We will gladly take those phone calls, those text messages, and those tweets. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. What are your thoughts on the Brant Brown hiring, the Rob Serfolio hiring, all that? We'll give you an opportunity to chime in after this break right here on KMOX. We're back at it on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line taking you till 8 o'clock this evening. The conversation that we're having right now, the Cardinals announcements today. Brant Brown is the team's new hitting coach. John Jay joining the coaching staff. Willie McGee transitions to a special assistant to President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. And Rob Serfolio has been hired as an assistant general manager for player development and performance. If you have thoughts on any of these things, love to hear from you. You can call, you can text, you can tweet. The phone number, 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900 to call or text. Or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Giving you an opportunity to chime in because social media has certainly reacted to the news of the day. Text message from the 314 says, "We asked for Big Mac or Holiday or Edmonds as hitting coach and Chris Carpenter as pitching coach." All right, so let's remove Mark McGwire from the contents of this text message, because McGwire has a track record as a major league hitting coach and was a really good hitting coach. Really good. Really good. He has shown no inclination to jump back into that grind. It's not going to happen. If you can get him back, sure, that'd be great, but that's probably not going to happen. But let's go through these other names. This is one of these things that gets at me a little bit, and I shouldn't react emotionally. I don't understand why people think because you are a good player, you're going to be a good coach. Because if anything, who was one of the worst hitting coaches in the last 20 years in Major League Baseball? It was Barry Bonds. He was terrible. He was one of the worst hitting coaches you're ever going to see. He is the best hitter of my generation, and he was a horrible, horrible hitting coach. He wasn't locked into the job. He was just such a natural. He did it all so naturally, and I know the jokes present themselves right there when I say naturally, and he maybe put a few unnatural things into his body, but you know where I'm going. You know where I'm going on this. I get frustrated. I get so frustrated when Adam Wainwright retires 2 years ago. He's got to be the next pitching coach. Yadier Molina retires. He's got to be the next manager for two things. A, we don't know if any of these guys are good coaches. Now, Holiday has obviously, he's worked with his brother at Oklahoma State a little bit, and his kids are very good hitters. So you would think that Holiday probably would do a nice job. But even when he joined the staff for a little while, he didn't join the staff as a hitting coach. He joined the staff to be a bench coach. There are people out there who devote their lives to coaching the game of baseball, who study the art of coaching, who are riding buses between Beloit, Wisconsin and Midland, Michigan, going for all night long, working in the minor leagues, doing all these things, who are really, really good coaches. And then there's like this belief out there that, because this guy performed well at the big league level, they're going to just be good coaches right away. So that it frustrates me because I see so many people in the baseball industry working really, really hard. And for some reasons, like you don't have to believe what I say. You're listening to me. I appreciate you listening to me. Hopefully, if you listen to me every day, you believe some of what I said. I'm telling you, just because somebody is good at what they do from a playing standpoint doesn't mean that they are good at what they do from a coaching standpoint. I would ask somebody to call right now, 314-436-7900. Call right now and tell me why Jim Edmonds is a better hitting coach than Brant Brown. I'm not going to get the call. And if I get the call, it's going to be a bunch of nonsense. There's nothing that you can say. People can't evaluate coaches, especially hitting coaches. I think pitching coaches can be evaluated a little bit more than hitting coaches. It just, so please, just keep this in the back of your minds. I know like there's this affection towards players and wanting to keep them around. And hey, Cardinals are as good as any team in baseball at getting former John Jay's back, right? Some people are excited about John Jay. So the Cardinals are doing that. But yeah, the idea that these former Cardinals could come in, and because you know their name, they're automatically better than Brent Brown as a hitting coach, it is a very, very, very flawed take. Chuck has given us a call. Hey, Chuck, you are on a Graybar Sports Open Line.
I heard what you just said. I did like the John Jay hiring. I thought there was a whole lot more people qualified to get the hitting coach. I don't know much about Brent Brown.
Chuck, give me a name. Give me one name. You just told me there's a lot of people more qualified for the hitting coach job. If you have that belief, give me a name and why they're more qualified.
I was hoping Holiday would come back, but a year from now, is there any way you think Bloom will hire Yachty?
I don't, probably not. I don't know. What, for what job?
So should I stop dreaming about him coming and saving the day? Is that unrealistic?
I don't think he has the interest in it right now. Are you talking about to be the club's manager, or are you talking about something else?
To be the club manager a year from now.
Yeah, if they make a change at the managerial position, would Yadier Molina be interested in the job? Possibly. I don't know. He'd have to show commitment to doing it. He had and Chuck, I appreciate the phone call. He had an opportunity this past year to be very involved in the organization. He really wasn't. I don't know all the details behind it. Anytime it was asked about, it was, hey, you know what? There's stuff going on in his home life. Yeah, it was a very this year was weird because the goalpost moved a couple times on a couple different things. We've talked about like the Tommy Edman thing where we get to spring training and the report is, well, Edman probably won't be available for the start of Grapefruit League games, but he'll be playing a few days later. And then Grapefruit League games get underway. Well, it's going to be a little bit longer. And then we're deep into spring training. He's probably not going to be ready before the end of spring training. Then we get into the season. Yeah, he's going to miss the start of the season, but he should be there pretty soon. Then we're told, he's not going to go on the 60-day injured list. He'll be fine before that. Then he goes on the 60-day injured list. And there was just goalposts kept getting moved. Same thing with Yadier Molina. We get to spring training, we're thinking he's going to be there right out of the bat, and he's not. And we're told, well, you know what, he's probably going to show up around the time that the minor leaguers show up. And he's going to be working with a lot of the young guys anyway, so good opportunity. Minor leaguers show up, he's not there. Then we're getting towards the end of spring training, where's Yachty? He's not going to make it for spring training, but he'll be around. You know, he needed a little bit of rest here after he was managing in the Caribbean World Series or whatever it was. And then we get into the season, and well, then it turns into, well, there's stuff going on at home, and it just kind of ends. And I don't know the details behind it. It was weird, but we never really understood completely what was going on there. Look, at some point, Matt Holliday is going to want to jump into a major league coaching staff. And once that moment comes, I hope the Cardinals have a spot for him. Because I think Matt Holliday has the opportunity to be a really good coach. Really good coach. Maybe a major league manager one day. I think he's got that. But he's made the decision that he wants to be around his family. He did not retire from playing all that long ago. He's got kids that he wants to be able to watch and support. And he's doing that. So he and Oliver Marmol are very close. That's the narrative that he didn't join the coaching staff because of some sort of rift with Marmol is the furthest thing from the truth. Those guys are very, very close. They're tight. Their families are tight. Like everything, they're very close. Holiday just realized that he wasn't ready to commit to the schedule that goes along with being a major league coach. So at some point in time, Matt Holiday wants to join a coaching staff. That'd be great. I think it's going to happen at some point. But right now, he's putting family first, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're actually going to switch gears. We don't talk a lot of NBA on this show, obviously so. We don't have an NBA team in St. Louis, but still a lot of attention on the NBA. And tonight is opening night in the NBA, so we'll talk a little bit about it. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. We'll jump back into Cardinals talk next hour, and we'll get into the Blues. We'll hear from Drew Bannister as they're going to play tonight. We'll do that later on this hour. Jam-packed Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We're going to talk some basketball here in just a moment. And just a programming note for you. Of course, we are the home of SLU Billikens basketball. They've got their second and final exhibition game coming up on Friday. They're going to take on Maryville. And we will have that broadcast for you here on KMOX. We did not play their first exhibition. And then they open up the season on Monday, November 4th against Santa Clara, a game being played in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Tonight is opening night in the NBA with a couple interesting games. Knicks and Celtics play in Boston. Celtics are considered the favorite for the NBA title this year. And then the Timberwolves and Lakers are the second game before most of the rest of the NBA will be underway over the next few nights. One of our favorite people to be able to talk a lot of things with, including basketball, is Justin Garcia. You follow him on Twitter at Justin Garcia NBA. Works as the analyst for the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. Does a lot of other things as well. He joins us right now. Justin, always great to talk with you. How are you?
Good, Matt. We're talking basketball. I thought you had me on to talk about Philip Roberg.
We'll talk a little hockey here in just a moment. Don't worry. I never have you on without mentioning the Blues, so we'll certainly get to that. And Jake Nabors signed a two-year deal today, yeah. So we got a few things to touch on. But before we get to that, this NBA season, I mentioned, you know, Boston is the favorite to win it, but I don't know. I look at the NBA this year, and I look at a lot of teams that are pretty darn good. I feel like it's a wide-open race. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I agree. It's as wide open as I can remember it being. I mean, you have to talk, since Jordan retired, and even then you had Hakeem Olajuwon and the Rockets and some young teams really coming up. But they've really kind of leveled the playing field where you have a number of teams that feel like they have a really good chance to win the championship. Certainly the Celtics you would point to. Everybody loves the Thunder. But I think in the West especially, it is wide open, where you could point to four or five teams that probably have equal odds or at least feel just as confident.
I mean, Boston, Oklahoma City, there's some love for the Knicks, some love for the 76ers. That might be a stretch. Timberwolves, Nuggets coming out of the West, even a team like Dallas, the Bucks that you're attached to with Giannis, obviously they're going to always be in there. I mean, it feels like you can even go past that. Like, it just if everything falls right for one of these teams, or they make the correct end season acquisition, you can see a path for so many different teams.
Yeah, and I know that's what the league wanted. I think, and this isn't just speaking as someone whose team was impacted by this, I think they may have gone a little far with some of the restrictions we've seen with the salary cap and really trying to thwart teams from building those mega teams that we've seen in the past. Now, you say that, but you have the same offseason where we mentioned that the New York Knicks acquire Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges, and we've seen more player movement. But the main thing is, like, when you think back to those Golden State Warriors, and I know they didn't win anything, but on paper, that Brooklyn Nets team, we're not going to see that again, at least under this CBA, with that type of grouping of superstars all on one team. You have more talent spread out evenly, and that's really brought the fact that all these teams feel like they have a chance to win. The Eastern Conference is, on paper at least, as good as it has been in decades, where you have, you know, six teams that I think realistically think, look, if things go our way, we could push the Celtics and we could win the Eastern Conference.
Is it an unfortunate thing that maybe the biggest storyline right now is the LeBron James, Bronny James situation in Los Angeles for a Lakers team that honestly doesn't look that great? I don't feel like they're going to be saying they're contending for an NBA title. There's so many great teams and so many great stories, yet maybe it's a lazy narrative, but the narrative keeps going back to what's happening in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, I get the fatigue with the story, and it remains to be seen how much time Bronny James is actually going to see at the NBA level. I mean, the Lakers haven't come out and said it, but I would assume most of his time is going to be spent in the G League. We had the Lakers in Milwaukee for one of our preseason games, and you can see there's still a lot of work to be done with Bronny. But just the fact that you have a player that is able to play in an NBA game with his son, I would assume we're going to see that tonight, that J.J. Redick's going to put them on the floor together, and then you'll probably see Bronny getting a majority of his time in the G League. But to have a guy that's still at the level that LeBron James is and have a son that is in the league, regardless of how deserving he was of that spot where he was selected, that's the special part, because you got to go back to the Griffies playing together, and we're going on, what, 30-plus years with that.
We're talking with Justin Garcia. Past Boston, and you've already talked about Oklahoma City and that group that they put together. I mean, 2 years ago, when nobody knew who Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was, and he's come on to be one of the top players in the NBA. The way they've put that team together, they're stars, but it's not like you've got all these household names. But when you look at that group and you look at that team, my goodness, they are so good.
Yeah, and I, you know, kind of talked about the CBA and where we're headed, and it's going to prevent teams from building these super teams. And more than that, I think it's really going to shorten the window for every team. That even Boston, like, they're the favorites to win the championship. They were clearly the best team last year, but the questions are going to be there towards the end of this season if they fall short, certainly. But next year, they're going to face some serious challenges with the way that the roster is constructed and the money that's out there. So the big piece of the CBA is, I think it's shortening your window, where realistically you probably have 3 years, maybe four at the absolute most, to keep a group together and contend, because you're going to have to start to pay everybody. The Thunder are the one team that might be able to prolong that, just because they have all these young guys and they have a treasure trove of draft picks yet that they can still make moves. Or, as we've seen Sam Presti do, say, well, rather than trading these picks, I'm just going to use them and continue to develop guys. And when players leave, we have new guys coming in.
What's the team that, if you're sitting at home and just about everybody's playing and you're flipping through the games on League Pass or whatever, that if they're playing and the Bucks are not that night, so you've got the night off, what's the team that you most enjoy watching?
Oh, well, the Thunder were up there last year. The Timberwolves were up there last year. And I think they're going to be even more fun to watch this year, because I know it's a big piece to lose Karl-Anthony Towns. Dante DiVincenzo, we got a chance to see quite a bit in Milwaukee. He's going to be very good for them, and I think Julius Randle is going to provide most of what Karl-Anthony Towns did, and you get to watch Anthony Edwards ascend into a level where he may be in the MVP discussion. Some of the young teams, too, I mean, I think it's the majority of people would point to the San Antonio Spurs and watching Victor Wembanyama. The problem with that is there's just not a whole lot of talent on that team. I know you brought in Chris Paul. That's pretty much it. I still think they're a mid-30s wins team at best. So a lot of the Western Conference teams and the Phoenix Suns, too, because I think they're going to be very good. Mike Budenholzer, we witnessed it here in Milwaukee. He knows how to lift the floor of teams. He is a very good regular season coach. And that team last year did not shoot a lot of threes. Wherever Bud goes, you shoot threes. I remember our first preseason game with Bud as the head coach. I think the Bucks took 50-plus threes in that game, and we all looked at each other like, is this what the offense is going to be? And look, he had Giannis win two MVPs under him. This Suns roster is probably the most talented group he's ever had. So I think they're going to be a very fun team to watch.
All right, let's talk a little Blues hockey before we get you out of here, which I've had people like question sometimes when I've had you on. Like, why did you start asking the basketball guy all these hockey questions? You are a legit big Blues fan. That's your team. You actually got to see them in person this year because the Blues played an exhibition game at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. They've won four of their first six. They're back in action tonight. Some of the pieces that they brought in the offseason, doing a nice job. They gave Jake Neighbors a contract extension today. What are your overall thoughts right now on the way the Blues have started their season?
Overall, very pleased. It was kind of a coming into the season before the offer sheet fiasco. You were still kind of like, well, still feels like it's going to be a year or two away of up and down play and not really pushing for the postseason. But that at least sparked interest. They have a lot of nice pieces. Didn't really know what to expect from Dylan Holloway. I was always very high on Philip Roberg and thought he was going to make an impact, if for no other reason than They don't have a lot of help on the back line defensively, and I've been blown away by what Philip Broberg has been able to do so far this season. I just feel like it's a young enough group with pieces that are veteran enough that if they can keep playing like this and find that spark at the midpoint of the season, I think they're going to be very interesting to watch, especially with Jordan Binnington in the net. And I know it's been up and down early so far, but I think we've seen enough of the sample size from Binny to know what to realistically expect from him. So I still think this is going to be a playoff team, certainly not in the top three in their division, but I think they're going to be a playoff team by the end of the year.
Did you like the Neighbors 2-year extension?
Well, I was just having this conversation with one of the maybe two or three other hockey fans that I have in my life here in Milwaukee and saying, you know, I every year I look at the Bucks schedule to try to see when is there a gap where I can get to St. Louis to take in a game. I don't know if we actually have one this year. So that's why the preseason game, seeing it in Milwaukee, was big, but also saying, look, I got to figure out, who am I going to buy a jersey of, a sweater of for this team? Because I think we've talked about this, Matt. My all-time favorite player will forever be Chris Pronger. I tried to get down there for the special Pronger night a couple of years ago, but we had a Bucks game. And I used to have a Chris Pronger jersey for years through college and after that. And now it's time to replace that and find somebody else. And I think Jake Neighbors is the guy.
Hmm. Okay. That's... Those are strong words coming from Justin Garcia. Justin, we appreciate you taking some time. We will check back in with you throughout the course of the NBA season and the Blues season, for that matter, if you're all right with that.
All right. Sounds good, Matt.
All right. Very good. Justin Garcia, at Justin Garcia NBA on social media, tweets about the NBA, but also tweets about the Blues and other things. So check him out for sure. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll hear a little from Drew Bannister as the Blues do get set to wrap up their 4-game homestand this evening. They are in action. They are going to get started in about 12 minutes against the Winnipeg Jets. And we'll get some pregame audio leading into that coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. Wanted to preview the Blues game tonight for just a few moments. They are going to have a puck drop at 7 o'clock at the Enterprise Center. They are in action this evening against the Winnipeg Jets, trying to hand Winnipeg their first loss of the season. Alexander Texier back in the lineup for the Blues this evening. Drew Bannister spoke with the media earlier today, and with Texier coming back from injury, Bannister talked a little bit about how they are going to use him.
And I think we want to kind of ease him in here a little bit early on. He's been out for a little bit with that injury. But previous to that, you know, I thought he had an outstanding training camp, but he can play in a lot of different roles and a lot of different situations.
What does he bring? When you watched him during camp, what does he
bring? I was impressed with his ability to protect pucks and hold on to them, his strength, the way he skates, and certainly he can shoot a puck. You know, something, you know, we want to play faster, we want to be harder on pucks. You know, he sees the ice well, he makes good plays, so I think he has...
It's a great time to build a Fisher and Fritzl...
plays, but also finish plays.
So that was Drew Bannister speaking with the media just a little while ago, or earlier today, I should say. When talking about this matchup tonight, they are going to take on the Winnipeg Jets. And the Jets have played 5 games, and the Jets have 5 victories this year. And Bannister talked about his opposition and the challenge that goes along with that.
I think their record speaks for itself, you know, tonight for us. I mean, obviously being a divisional game, it's important. The last game at home before we go on the road, make sure that we finish here strong. You know, so, I mean, you know, they play good hockey. That's where they're at. And, you know, we got to continue to build our game. And it's going to be a good test for us here tonight against them.
So that's Drew Bannister speaking earlier today. Blues and Jets tonight over at the Enterprise Center. In the second hour of the show, we're going to hear a lot more from John Mozeliak. He spoke with the media today, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, on the various announcements that the team made. I'll continue to give you my thoughts on those moves coming up after the 7 o'clock news. We also have our weekly conversation with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. That's going to be coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.